This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Yeah, welcome to The Undercard, episode 153.
Oh, you couldn't hear anything?
I don't hear anything.
No. Okay, that's fine. Not
a
big deal.
We're rock and rolling.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I could have Jimmy sing the intro, but nah.
Well, it was Marv, actually, that did it. So if
you could get it,
that did the intro. You did the voice for the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm saying, so you could do the actual intro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why fine. I'm in here.
That's fine.
No worries.
That's the intro that for Podcast Detroit, and then we have our own individual intro. It's not a big deal.
No big deal. You know what? We'll splice it in later. So take it back. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ready? Brad, bring us in.
Go.
Welcome to The Undercard, episode 153.
153.
We were off last week. We promise we will not be off too often, though. No, not like the old days.
That was a little bit different.
The old days, we were off every week.
Well, that was because we had to go have our treatments, our lung treatments.
Yeah.
We had to go get our
shots.
We had to get our Hep C shots and
asbestos treatments.
Yeah, it's a much different time then.
But we come back and a lot has happened, so we get to talk a little bit about that. Just a couple highlights of the show. John Chalback. From Scorpion Fighting Systems, boxing. He's going to be on about the 8 o'clock hour. And then we have Brandon McLaughlin coming in pretty soon. We're going to be talking about his fight. We'll let him talk all about that and not spoil that. But, yeah, let's start off at the UFC and work our way down.
Way down to what?
Boxing.
Oh, okay. So you finally realize that?
No,
MMA
I don't.
Oh, here it comes.
No, I'm
just kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
Geez. No, nah. He's right though.
That's all right. All right.
So, what big news is Ronda Rousey again? So
yep,
we got to address this.
Absolutely.
She now has opponent.
Yes.
January 2nd, which is the one of the big fight cards for UFC, is always around New Year's Eve, and everyone was. Maybe surprise, Holly Holm.
Yeah.
Jumps some rankings and is the new opponent of Ronda Rousey after Dana White stood on stage and said the winner of the last Miesha Tate fight would be facing Ronda Rousey. And then what happens? Miesha Tate.
Lies!
Miesha Tate wins.
Well,
and he realizes.
You expect her to win.
He realizes no one would buy that.
Yeah, no.
And he's stuck in a predicament. But.
Now, why do you think nobody would buy that?
Third time, and Miesha Tate.
Okay.
Is just, you know, I like her as a fighter, but it just Ronda Rousey's on such another level and stuff. And I think Dana White, this is just speculation, realizes he doesn't have Ronda Rousey for too long.
No.
Yeah. And so it's like, let's make some money.
Right.
Why waste another four months?
And it's not like, you know, like Frazier versus Ali where one won and then the other one won. Miesha Tate lost both times.
Three strikes in your or two strikes in your round.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Beat me once, shame on you.
Right.
Beat me twice, you don't get a third time.
So that's why nobody would buy that fight because they've seen it twice already and Ronda dominated both times. So nobody wants to see that.
You're like dominated like in a mean way. You're like dominated. No.
Well, no, not dominated in a mean way. I mean, the first fight I think ended in the first round. The second fight actually went to the third round.
But that was just because Ronda was tired that day. She had a rough day.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Ronda was still trying to. She didn't want to end it too quickly. She kind of wanted to go maybe a little bit more.
Well, I thought Miesha Tate did well that fight.
Well, I think she did too. But I also think that Ronda kind of held back for a little bit, just kind of feeling her out and seeing how long she could go and kind of toying around with her a little bit, and then finally the third round. Her corner probably went, okay, you know what? Enough's enough. Just finish it. She went, okay, and she did.
They were like, hey, we've all got money on you dropping her in the third. Could you do it?
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe Dana, you know, put a little side bet in there. It's like, hey, just let it go to the third this time. And
she's like, but he's like, the third round.
I'll give
you the third.
The third.
The third round. But
not the third strike. Not the third, you know, takedown. The third round.
So let's go over the tail of the tape here because this fight is going to be January 2nd. But is Holly Holm worthy of getting a chance at Ronda Rousey? First off, Ronda is 12-0.
Yeah.
First, Holly, who is 9-0.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last three fights for Ronda Rousey were KO, submission, and KO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last three fights for Holly were TKO, decision, decision.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Fastest win from Ronda was 14 seconds.
Yeah.
Fastest win for Holly Holm was 118.
Okay.
Longest UFC win streak, we have Ronda Rousey at officially 6, which is submission, submission, TKO, KO, submission, KO. Longest win streak for Holly Holm in the UFC is 2 decisions.
Ouch.
Right. And Ronda Rousey is 100% finishing, and Holly Holm 67% finishing.
Yeah.
So... Holly Holm, who comes from a boxing background,
mm-hmm.
Really successful boxer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this has allowed her the opportunity to fight Ronda Rousey because in the last couple months, and we've been talking about it on the show, it seems like it's boxing versus MMA. Whether it was Mayweather saying he makes a lot of money, whether it was Ronda Rousey saying something stupid like I wouldn't need a few minutes with Mayweather. You know, they're different sports, but it seems like Dana White is going forward and saying, I am going to put a boxer versus my top-level athlete to kind of prove that MMA is superior, which they're different sports. So
has Holly ever – has she ever fought MMA?
She's 9-0 MMA.
Oh, yeah. 9-0. Okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, so you have Holly Holm, who has a lot of upside, a lot of potential, but this might be the old term, too green – for the fight, still mm-hmm. need some work. On paper, it's going to sell.
Yeah.
So that's, at the end of the day, what UFC wants.
Right.
I tell you what, going off of what we just read off on the tail of the tape, Holly Holm, the last two fights were submissions mm-hmm. in UFC. I'm sorry, not submissions. They were decision wins mm-hmm. for Holly Holm. I don't think anyone will ever get a decision win over Ronda Rousey. I think you beat her outright, knock her out, or somehow mm-hmm. submit her.
Yeah.
But you are not going to survive 3 to 5 rounds, because she's a champion.
Yeah, right.
With her, without her submitting you.
Right. Yeah.
So automatically, I'm like, Holly might be a little bit in trouble. You know what I'm saying? If you can't finish.
I'm pretty sure I would finish less than 14 seconds.
With Ronda Rousey.
With Ronda Rousey, absolutely.
I think that goes for pretty much anybody.
And whatever we were doing, it wouldn't take me that long.
Ice cream eating.
You're disgusting.
Anything.
Whatever. What?
You're disgusting.
What you're thinking, and I was just saying that she is a top athlete and I am not, and if we fought, she would beat me. I don't know what you were thinking over there, you pervert. Mm.
So this is not the first time that a pro boxer has gotten the huge limelight. James Toney fought and was humiliated in the early days of UFC. And so maybe this is an opportunity for the UFC to say to boxing back, hey, maybe our athletes don't make as much, but we have the baddest ass woman in the planet.
Yeah.
It's just a theory. I don't know, but it's weird that all of a sudden Holly Holm jumps Misha Tate. And then if you're Misha Tate, as successful as you are in the industry, and they're not giving you a rematch or not allowing you to have this rematch, and you've done what you need to do, you really found where your glass ceiling is in the sport.
Well, she
until
had
Ronda Rousey leaves.
She had her rematch and she lost.
Yeah, exactly.
But she was told that if you win the last fight, then you get another rematch.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, it also is Dana White, and you can't trust anything that comes out of that man's mouth. So
says Jimmy Pache, not Brad.
And Marvin seconds what Jimmy Fisher said. 2 out of 3 of the undercard of Team Undercard agree.
Right. But I will give you Steve credit.
Right. And I mean I don't mean that in like he would maliciously flat out lie, but he's going to do whatever, you know, no matter what he says. He's going to say whatever he needs to say at the time. And then if it doesn't work, he's going
to
go back and he's going to do whatever he needs to do to sell that fight.
It's more marketable.
It's more marketable, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe he is on borrowed time with Ronda. And I agree. I believe we're idiots if we don't think he calls every day and says, well, what are your plans over the next 2 years?
Yeah.
And when she gives him the...
I'm doing a movie with Mark Wahlberg right now.
Exactly.
And The Rock's asking me to come do another movie with him. Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly.
Hollywood.
There's this guy in Dearborn who really wants to date me.
Right.
I got to go see him. Well, I'm from Dearborn.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah. So maybe it's like Holly Holm will sell. She's 9-0.
Yeah.
Hasn't lost. And maybe it's like, let's just line this up and then have Cyborg maybe possibly next and get the most we can get out of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she rides off into the sunset because she will ride off into the sunset undefeated, not challenged. And there's nothing the UFC can do about it.
I say three more fights and it at 15-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
And 15's a nice round number. Yeah.
Well,
just saying.
It's not actually, but okay.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
It's an odd number.
It's an odd number.
It's a five.
Divisible by.
It's not a prime number. I'll give you that. It's not a prime number.
Whatever.
Math skills slip. We've not been here.
Math is for the weak. That's all I'm
going
to
say.
So
mercy was for the weak. We do not train to be merciful here.
We're going
to
get to that later.
Okay, yeah,
talking Karate Kid. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got. Well, we have more. Teaser. We got more to come later.
The whole thing with the Ronda Rousey last fight, the numbers I imagine were pretty big. The place that I watched it, I heard a lot of people were out for it. Seemed like a bigger fight than fights have come. So it's just UFC maybe cashing in their chips a little bit and saying, hey, we're going to see where this goes and push the chips forward.
So since you brought it up, what does UFC do after Ronda, like as far as like women go?
They would probably market Paige VanZant, who they're huge on. She's adorable little girl, but not at the weight that sells right now. Mm-hmm. She fights at, I believe, 115. Mm-hmm. And so you have a situation in which they'll market the next person. That's what they do. They pick somebody that's marketable.
Yeah.
And you know, the beef I've always had is, are they the best? You know.
Well, I guess so. But do you think they'll continue having the spotlight on their women fighter? Like you said, Ronda brings in a lot of money. They market her a lot. Are they going to continue to do that with their women fighters, or are they going to kind of let the ladies go by the wayside?
No, they'll push it, but I believe that she's a once in a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, you might catch that ball of lightning once in a great while. I mean, it's just everything she does is marketable. If she's rude to people, people love it.
Yeah.
If she's nice to people and smiling, people love it. Yeah, like she's
like
got
the
that
Donald Trump of UFC.
No. Don't get me started on our two presidential candidates coming out of the parties here. It says a lot about our country. So I think they'll
2016.
I think they'll try to push it, and I think there is a future in women's MMA. Mm-hmm. And I think Invicta's good, but you'll just never catch, just like Mike Tyson, you'll just never catch somebody that people gravitate towards like Ronda Rousey. You know, and you know, maybe she does like a bad film like Ben Affleck did with J-Lo or something like that, and she has to come crawling back to the UFC, and maybe that's when she's beatable, when she's been away from the sport for a little bit.
I think as long as she keeps doing movies with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock, she'll be all right.
Yeah?
I think so.
Well, they're making another Fast and Furious, so you figure they got to call her, right? Or did she die in that?
I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
I've never watched one of those movies.
I've not seen one of the 18 that they've made.
And I have no desire to see any of them. No,
I know she was in the last one, but I didn't know what had happened or something like that.
Well, she could make if they make an Expendables 4, they could she could be in that. Mm. I know she's in a movie right now with Mark Wahlberg. I know she's planning on making a movie with The Rock. There's one other, like there was three projects that she was like involved with or rumored to be involved with. So, and that's just starting out. And she's petitioning right now to be Carol Danner's Miss Marvel.
Oh.
So she wants to be in the Marvel movies.
She's
so
pushing for it.
She's pushing for it. I mean, she like fan art and she's saying and we talk, you know, off air about why that won't work, at least for me. But
I forget. Say.
Oh, because Carol Danner's if she were to play Miss Marvel as Carol Danners after the transformation, like Bruce Banner into the Hulk, that would be fine. But Carol Danners, the whole point of her persona is she's kind of weak. But when she turns into Miss Marvel, she's got this infinite strength. So that's kind of one of those like Ronda doesn't look weak.
But maybe they just do like they did with Captain America.
Actually, that might
didn't think about that. Yeah.
I think
you
I mean,
actually, that might actually work.
I think it would work fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that
would actually work. They've done it, so I mean,
No, you know,
it can be done, so.
Right.
It's times like Jimmy is like right now where I'm like, we should trade him to Get Your Geek on another show for a future radio host to be named later.
we should never get rid of Jimmy.
Wait.
I'm just saying, you're really good at what you do.
Wait.
Hey, they've not approached me. No trade talks have happened, okay?
No trade talks.
No. We might be past
the trade deadline.
I would
do dual roles. I wouldn't leave. I'd never leave.
Makes you think you'd be welcome back, you traitor.
I would do dual roles.
No, that was
traitor.
That was just very in-depth. I like it, though. That's good, good, you know.
But yeah, no, so so she's got a lot of, like, she's pushing to be, you know, and if she becomes Ms. Marvel, I mean, that not only would she have all of her standalone films, but all of her, you know, conjunction films. I don't think she's going to be, I don't think Ms. Marvel is supposed to be in the Infinity Wars, the, you know, the big group movies. But I know that they're going to be doing more and more of those, like in phase 5, 6, a billion, whenever, you know, they get to or whatever. So if she got a part like Ms. Marvel, that would be almost probably guaranteed 6 movies.
So then she for sure probably
for sure
MMA.
She would be done with MMA, yep.
Because if I understand correctly, Marvel just turns them out. Like Civil War just wrapped.
Civil War
like you're
just
always
wrapped.
Just filming.
Well, Civil War just wrapped. I know I think they're starting on Doctor Strange. They are coming up on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor Ragnarok.
There's lots in the chamber, by the way. They're going to be firing them out fast and furious.
Well, they have.
See what I did there?
See what you did there. They have, I think, all Marvel movies up to like 2019 already slated, ready to go. They haven't started filming, of course, but like they know what movies are going to have coming out up until like 2019, which I think is the last Infinity Wars.
Which means you have to ask yourself, what do they know about 2019?
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
Well, no, that's the end of phase 4, I think.
I hear you, but maybe they know something.
We move on to Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, the last 2 weeks has been in the news.
Yes.
First off, I don't think he came to Stitch's defense as much as he acknowledged that he could understand why people would be mad about not being able to get the generation income that they had.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, ooh. Like, you know, like, ooh.
It's like when the teacher's pet in the class says something like against the teacher and the entire class goes, ooh.
Yeah, exactly. remember in A Christmas Story when he's like beating up the kid and cursing, the kids are like, did you hear what he said?
But he made the news again.
Yep, he did.
And so we'll let you read the exact article.
Right. I mean, that's his job, right? Paraphrase the article.
For those
of
you who don't know, Joe Rogan has his own podcast, and he was talking about the upcoming fight with Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm. And basically what he said is that Holly Holm has not earned the shot with Rousey. It should have gone to it should have gone to Amanda Nunes. For Rousey versus Holmes, and this speaks to the kind of mismatch experts and the public seem to view the match, is Rousey at a negative 1450 or 14.5 to 11.
Those are like odds I've never seen before.
Like,
14.5 to 11.
Yeah.
I've never even seen that.
No, it's 14.5 to negative 11, I think.
Well, no, it's 14.5
to 11. Okay.
You've got two different kinds of. You have an over under and a.
Right. And then favorite to Holmes plus 900 underdog line. I don't know sports betting, so I don't know what those odds mean.
Mm-hmm.
It means that the odds are heavily
stacked
against Ronda's favor. Means don't bet on her to lose.
So some have tried to prop up Holmes' status as a challenger. Others aren't buying that. Rogan's being one of them. He said in his podcast on Fight Companion on Sunday, I don't agree with that fight, the Holly Holm fight. I don't think that's smart. I would have gone with Amanda Nunes before Holly Holm.
Oh, snap.
Amanda Nunes looks like a badass when she knocked out Sarah McMahon. That's a more dangerous fighter and a more marketable fighter.
Ooh.
Holm is only the best boxer in the world if Ann Wolf decides not to box.
Oh, and then he dropped the mic.
Yeah. Boom.
So my theory is this, okay? I have two.
Yeah.
One, he saw what happened to Stitch, and he's testing his boundaries. Let me see mm-hmm. where this wall is. Yeah. Let me see where this wall is until I get called into right. UFC Azufa. Yeah. And they're like, stop.
Right.
Stop now.
Yeah.
Right.
Or two, exhausting schedule, right? And I was telling Jimmy, he's probably somewhere in a contract right now
yeah.
in which if he was to be let go, they still probably have to honor a lot of that contract yeah. if they're yeah. letting him go. Maybe he's just done and well, he's like, well, that's the quickest I way think, to get out of town.
I think there's also – I mean, if there's one thing that UFC understands, it's marketing, and you know that conflict sells. I mean, it's a way to keep these things in the well, news and – You know, I mean, I'm not saying that they told him to go out there and say these things. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But
right.
he's saying them. And so, well, I mean, even if Dana White comes back or anybody comes back and, like, gives him the business out, you know,
right.
out in the open, like, it's still – we're going to talk about it. I mean
– I actually think it goes beyond that. I think that it's a possibility that Rogan – that Dana White is saying, look, don't go too far, but it's okay if you bash the UFC a little bit and me a little bit. You know, because we're going to have you be like the face of the fans.
Yes.
Like, we know the guy that everybody's going to be upset. So we're going to let them think that you're on their side. Really, you're on our side.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to let them think that you're on our side so that, you know, is that kind of like good cop, bad cop kind of dichotomy where, you know, actually, if you go the pro wrestling, the WWE kind of model. So you have Vince McMahon, a.k.a. Dana White, and then you have Shane McMahon, who for a while there was kind of like, no, don't listen to my dad. Everybody listen to me. Everybody's like, yeah, Shane, you know. So everybody, even though it was like all part of the same thing, you had the two different people that were going at it where the fans approved of the one, and then it kind of made – them able to do whatever they wanted and the fans wouldn't riot.
Well, it's really popular right now. Look, we dipped into politics for a second, but the whole thing right now
Bernie is 2016.
Yeah, Bernie 2016. the undercard fully endorses. But the big thing right now is like, you know, you got Trump and you know, he's getting known for the ridiculous things he says, but everybody's like, oh, he tells it like it is. The same with Bernie. These guys that are sort of like the rogues or whatever, they tell it like it is. And so they say what everybody thinks but is afraid to say.
Right.
So it's almost like they're putting Rogan in that
yeah.
position of like, yeah. well, it's working for these guys, you know, now Rogan comes out and he says what's on everybody's mind.
Right.
But I got to counterpoint that in the fact that Rogan, everyone that watches UFC likes him, fighters like him.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, he probably has an approval rating of like 95% of the fighters.
Yeah.
The danger of letting him do that, if your guys' theory is correct, is that A, fighters will believe it, and B, fighters will follow. And the last thing they want is a players union or a fighter union. And that he almost becomes, wow, we have a voice now.
Right. Well, but that's just it. They have a quote-unquote voice, but the voice is really in the pocket of Dana White, who's allowing him to do this.
I think it's hard to make that jump for the fighters. I think he's there more so for the audience.
For the fans,
It's so the audience, he's saying what we feel. It's going to keep them interested. It's
And they don't feel like they're being totally alienated by UFC. Because if Dana White said something and the fans didn't approve, and every single person in the organization told the line and said nothing but positive things about what Dana White did, people wouldn't buy it. People would not buy it. Mm-hmm. It's not genuine. People would get upset. People would start to riot.
And that's not America.
And that's not America.
If I've but, never heard Rod Allen do a Tiger telecast, they could do no wrong.
But if you have Dana White saying something, and then you have a voice like Joe Rogan who's like, you know what? I don't agree with that. Then all the fans are going, yeah, at least somebody in the organization understands us. They know what we're feeling.
Well, of course. And they had to know because just like we said, you know, what Dana White originally said there was going to be the winner of, you know, it was basically supposed to be Tate, right?
Yeah.
So everybody, like he said it, so everybody was expecting that.
Right.
When he comes out and drops a different fight, of course everybody's going to be you know, like, well, it should have been a different fight and all this. So you have to give voice to that.
Right. Why even say previously, you know, the winner of this fight? I mean,
because
didn't
expect her to win.
I know, exactly. But it's like you just don't paint yourself into corners.
Right, exactly. Well,
but that's what he does, though.
Mate.
Like, he shoots his mouth off. You know that.
Hello, the Twitter thing.
He shoots his mouth off. He probably doesn't even remember saying it.
Yeah. He has no brain to mouth or finger, you know.
Oh, he has something to mouth.
You know what I'm saying? But he doesn't think about what he says before he says it. He just says it and then goes back and tries to do damage control after the fact.
That's what he's good
Very
at.
Very nice. Well, next week is my birthday week, so we're going to say nice stuff about UFC all week. And we're just going to be
I think Jimmy and I are going to have to take the week off.
Pro-UFC.
I'm not anti-UFC. I'm just anti the person at the top.
Well, the thing is that you have to – there's so much control in the UFC. You have to believe that Dana White and Joe Rogan have talked about it. Maybe,
oh, I agree.
Maybe your theory's correct. Yeah, it's like, I liked your podcast.
Yep.
Or maybe it's like –
Be careful.
Two strikes.
Yeah, that's two strikes.
Third one you're on. Yeah. Third one we'll find where Marv Albert is doing the Knicks games, and it'll be a yes every second.
That's a very real possibility, and I guess we'll find out if a third strike happens and a Rogan is still a part of the company, then we know that my theory probably has a little bit more merit.
Well, there's also, like you said too, Brad, he is absolutely a fan favorite and a fighter favorite. I mean – Don't you there would be some backlash if they got rid of him. There would be big backlash if they got rid of him.
Yep.
And if they lost him and then Ronda,
yep.
I don't know. I think that's bad news for them.
You know what I'm waiting to see is just a fighter get crazy, okay? And I'm talking about wear two pair of shorts, right? Wear the Reebok shorts, right?
Oh, and then
get in the ring.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden when like, are you ready? Are you ready?
Yep.
Strip it, throw it, and have your advertising on it. And they got to let the round go.
Well, yeah. Well, dude, if you get enough, I mean, like that's if you did that, like that's going to be viral everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's going to end your career in UFC, but so what? If your sponsors give you enough money?
And you know what? I actually see it happening. I like your idea. And I actually see it happening, but I see it happening on both sides. I see the two camps coming together and saying, hey, we have this idea. What do you think? We agree with this. And both fighters do it.
Oh, that'd
There's
be
no
crazy.
Way you're going to stop it with both fighters.
Yeah, the only winners are the people that are advertising.
Exactly. Yeah.
Toro lawnmowers.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that would go viral so quickly.
That would go viral so quickly.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to be a sponsor to those.
Yeah, awesome. No kidding. We'd have to cough up some serious coin, though. I mean, you're ending your UFC career.
Right, yeah.
So it has to be somebody that's like,
no,
like
but
ready
you know
to
what? They might have ended their UFC career, but I guarantee you Bellator is going to take them.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'm just saying, like, you have to be ready to walk away
right.
from UFC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get paid.
Yep.
I'd just like to see what happened, and I know this is probably a fictional scenario, but what happens, you let them finish the round and demand they put the shorts back on?
Yeah.
And if they don't, disqualify both of them?
Yeah, probably.
That's probably what they do.
Put those on.
But you know what? No contest.
But damage is done. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
Hey, I got to go pee in the cup for the state of Nevada. I'll be right back out. Shorts look a little baggy on you. They look fine to me.
Yeah,
let's go to the ring. Let's go. Yeah. We're going to go to our fierce music break here. Brandon McLaughlin is supposed to be joining us shortly. And then we have John Chalback a little bit later. And then we're going to talk boxing later. The biggest fight of the year, not Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather, but Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Saul Alvarez is going to be happening. They have official date November 21st. That's Thanksgiving. That's Christmas come early right there.
Yeah.
And so we'll start getting into that. That is the fight of the year. So we'll be back in, I don't know, a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to the Undercard, everybody. I have to say, okay, so old style beer. I'm casting
old style the brand.
Yeah, old style beer.
Yeah.
When you say old style beer, like you could just mean
you know,
like
that old style.
Yeah, like the old that old timey beer back when in a gin joint.
I'm putting a worm on the hook here. I'm just casting away. See what happens. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I love you, old style. Okay, first off, I drove to Illinois just to get these fictional patches, although you can get them through the mail, because I love old style.
Right? We remember that story. Yep.
The only souvenir I wanted coming back from Chicago, because we were off last week, was old style beer.
Right.
And actually, on the way back, you'll find this amusing, remember? On the way back, I hit the only dry county in Illinois.
Oh, good for you.
And looking for the beer, I'm like, we'll get it on the way out of Chicago, old style, right? And we hit Dry County. And then we go into the McDonald's and ask everybody there, and they acted like they've never touched a drink, except this one kid at the end. He's like, I'll tell you where I go.
And you know where I get my liquor down at the store about That's three awesome. Lights down?
Everybody else is like, no, we don't. No, no. And then that guy at the end, I'll tell you where I go. And that's where we went. And he hooked me up. So
that's awesome.
What was the motto of the city, too? Rochelle liked it.
Faith, family, and future.
That was it. So wow. You think it's a Christian community?
No. No.
I remember. Should I name the city or no?
Yeah, yeah, do it.
We don't want their sponsor.
South Holland. Yeah.
That sounds rough.
Very preppy.
As soon as I saw the sign, I'm like, well, that seems a little odd. And then they even have on the water tower, they have the slogan, and it says, like, the land of churches.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that one. Wow.
Marv, you could never go there. You will spontaneously.
Yeah, no kidding. I got to know where this is at so I don't accidentally drive through it.
But that one brave soul at the end of the counter. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you where I go.
I'll tell you where I go.
Yeah, we didn't know. He's like, so where do you guys buy beer around here? We don't drink.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't buy that.
Now, see, I would have been scared. The dude's like, I'll tell you where I go, because they'd be like, we're going to take the heathens out back.
No, but
like, he's like the bait. He's like, I'll tell you where I go, and then like you end up out at this farm somewhere.
It was some guy outside.
Oh, no. We went into a
construction worker.
No, we went into a grocery store first.
Oh, that's right.
And when we went into the grocery store, because like they have to have beer in a grocery store, the guy was stocking Pepsi, and I was like, which aisle is the beer in? And that was the wrong question. He's like, not around here. And you're not far out of Chicago. We were only 10 minutes out of Chicago. Yeah. So I'm like, what happened? Like, it was just like, it got bad quick.
But he made
Chicago happen.
He even made the joke before we walked into the grocery store. He's like, what if they don't even have beer?
Okay.
I don't think they're going to have beer here. I'm like, yeah, well, it's a grocery store.
I just looked it up. Their population in New Holland, Illinois is 200.
South Holland.
Oh, I'm sorry. South Holland.
South Holland. Let's get
wrong place.
Well, either way, in New Holland, 269 people.
Yeah.
And all of them are cousins.
Yeah. Well, the day that there was 200.
Oh, this is much bigger. They're 22,000.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. And all of them are cousins.
Yeah.
But anyways, I got to make my appeal.
22,000 people, 8 teeth, which is weird.
Oh, my God.
So I got to make my appeal to old style.
That's not what you're on.
They have a university called South Suburban College.
I don't want to sound like that creepy guy with the girl old style, but I'd like you to acknowledge me.
No, this is what he did. He's like, we found Old Style, but it had a different. It was in a can, and it had a different label on it. He's like, no, I have to find this label.
Why does it have to be that label?
Because it has the skyline.
I like the skyline better.
Oh, okay.
The other one was for firefighters, you know, just firefighters.
Oh, I'm for firefighters. Don't say that.
Brad is pro firefighter. Right,
yeah. I get that out of the way. Oh. But no, I'm just throwing it out there, old style, and we'll move on and talk. But, hey, you know, you got my number. So call me. Let's make this happen.
They're actually on Wikipedia.
I love it.
There is a picture of their water tower, and it's sure enough, Faith, Family, Future.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, we didn't make that shit up.
South Holland.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Do
they
have the rest of the water tower on there, or it's like the land of churches or something?
No, the water tower says Faith, Family, Future. Oh, okay. Faith, Family, Future, but actually I can see the end of it. So the looks like the other side would say something about land of churches.
Okay, yeah.
It looks like that's the end of the word churches right there.
Seems like everyone in that town would be like, you don't want to go to Chicago. Let me tell you a bypass. Chicago so anti where we were. I was like 10 minutes up the road.
Wow. Their average hotel rating is 3-star.
Okay.
$90. Stay there. Yeah.
Nice.
How much is their parking, though? That's where we
you're in Chicago, like you have to expect to get raped on parking. That's just going to happen.
When you go to the South. It's South Holland, right? South Holland, yes. Hotels or whatever. I wonder if they give you a King James Bible instead of a Gideon's Bible.
But wait. Remember when we went to the liquor store, we literally crossed over railroad tracks.
Yeah. You were in a different county. Yeah.
It was South Park. We were on the other side of the tracks, and it got different.
Yeah, well, of course it did.
Starlight Motel.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure,
Which I want to do a photo shoot.
Well, I mean, if you're
going to
have a liquor store right there, you know, you got to... You know, easy access, you know.
But We're waiting for Brandon McLaughlin to come in here. I'll text him in a second. He's going to be joining us and talking about his fight in early September. But, Jimmy, if you guys didn't listen to our other podcast, we were trying to help Jimmy find find somebody.
Yeah. How's that going, Jimmy?
Find love.
It's okay.
No, it's
because
So Emily, who I picked,
Contestant
number one. We had a great first date, but we haven't been on a second one yet because of three factors. One,
Jimmy,
her job.
Two, Jimmy. Three,
yes.
Timing.
Yep. So the third factor being timing. She's extremely busy with her job. She owns her own business. She's constantly working. But aside from that...
Really? Because I see her on Facebook all the time. Well, like, I'm so bored. I have nothing to do.
Oh, okay. the other two factors were her mom was very ill and she was taking care of her. And then last week, she was very ill with strep throat and kind of threw a monkey wrench in anything. So hopefully sometime soon, we can meet for a second date.
Whenever a girl says she has strep throat, Jimmy, tell her you have an elixir for that.
I'm not.
See, Marv got me off subject here as I eat peanut brittle.
A topical. I thought you were allergic to that stuff,
dude. It's not peanut brittle.
It's a
pretzel brittle.
Sea salt pretzel.
Okay.
Toffee.
Anyways, so kind of a prequel. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's hit a blog that we're going to talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was his adventures in dating. And Jessica, Jessica, who's gratefully working our board. So we had a dating game show for Jimmy, and but he has a blog now where he's talking about the previous adventures and how, you know, it's just not crazy guys out there. It's crazy girls, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's mostly crazy girls, I think.
Well, no,
it's mostly crazy girls.
Now, the thing is, so I've been on online dating sites for a little over a year now, and the stories that I tell are just the ones that make, like, looking back, make me laugh, or they just really were just completely and utterly insane. And then I'll throw in little bits of, you know, like the other day I wrote a blog post about the Houdini and how that just absolutely infuriates me. What are you laughing at?
I want to know which Houdini you're talking about, because there's the Houdini where you're having relations with a young lady.
No. Not that Houdini.
It works best if she's like looking out a window and then in a seamless move, you slip out, your friend slips in, then you run downstairs and go outside and wave to her.
That's the Houdini.
Oh,
there's not that Houdini.
There's also the penicillin Houdini, which clears up a lot.
No, what? Neither one of those Houdinis. The Houdini.
The look on Michelle's face. I wish I had my camera ready for that.
And the show has reached a new low.
I have fortunately never heard of either.
Yeah.
So.
But have you? But is no. it just? Is it just that you didn't know what to call them when they happened to you? Or
no. No.
Let's bring this back to, you know, a little bit to a modicum of decor. But no, the Houdini that I'm talking about is, so in order for a woman to Houdini me, somebody that I had to have been talking to for more than 3 days in a row.
It's much harder for a girl to Houdini.
I know.
It's somebody
that I had to have been talking to for 3 days in a row. Showed great interest in meeting or, you know, or whatever. And then just one day just absolutely just stops responding to anything and never hear from them again.
So she disappeared.
She disappeared.
Maybe she will reappear on the other side of the stage.
Now, Liz and Rochelle, don't you think that typically, especially because Rochelle was talking, I'm sorry. This is bad, the toffee memo. But
in general, you don't want to talk on a mic with food.
Rochelle was talking to her brother, and we're just going to air it out here, and he can be mad.
Well, he won't listen.
Oh, there you go. Don't you think that they were probably talking to multiple guys, and then one...
Just like he is, too.
One was winning the race more, and then they just stopped talking to Jimmy.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't care if that's what was happening. If you are talking to multiple guys and one guy wins out, that's fine. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm talking to this other guy. It's just not working out with us. You know, blah, blah, blah. Have a great life.
That's not how it works in nature, though. When the big male lion comes in and beats all the other ones out, The other ones know that he won by watching him Houdini the chick. They might try to Houdini
it. That's just it. That's just it. If I knew – two things. If I knew that there was another guy in contention and then she just disappeared, that would be fine. If I if she said something of like, hey, you know, I just don't think this is working out, that would be fine too. But what absolutely infuriates me is when there is just the last conversation you have is, you know, hey, have a good night or blah, 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 or I'll talk to you later. That's the last thing. I will talk to you later, and then boom.
So you're saying
nothing. I can't really count on that because I do that.
You Houdini?
Yeah, it's so frustrating. That is so inappropriate, and that is so
Jimmy, you want a girl to break up with you then.
Jimmy needs a Xanax.
Like, you want a girl to break up with you before you're in a relationship.
I just want you to be honest. Just don't just stop talking. Just say.
Yeah, but that wasn't even a big deal. It's only like 3 days, you said.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Like
3 days, I think. Like, I think it's just like, she's like, all right. Because
some people just don't want to waste their time just to write back like a simple, like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. They just ignore you or leave you alone.
I think 3 days chatting online does not a relationship make. She's under no obligation. She's under no obligation to tell you anything.
But you know what? And maybe it's just me, but I would never ever do that. I don't care if I've been talking to you for a day.
It's just you.
I would never, because that is just, it's just so frustrating because everybody deserves to know what's going on and not just be left in the lurch. Everybody deserves to know what.
So while you're talking to a girl?
Yeah, I will tell, if I'm talking to multiple girls.
You're going to tell them that you're talking to multiple girls.
I always, up front, I tell them, I'm like, hey, you know, just to let you know, I am talking to other people. with that?
We're getting more and more to the core of why you're not getting dates, Jimmy.
I'm not going to lie, though.
Right. Well, no, listen, girls, really.
Honestly, like, if you came up to me and were like, hey, like, I want to talk to you, but I'm talking to, like, multiple other chicks, like,
No. That's not what I'm saying. If they ask me, am I talking to other people? I'm not going to lie. If they ask me if I'm talking to other people, I will tell them, yes, I am talking to other people. I don't volunteer the information, but if they ask me, I will not lie and say that I'm not.
Jimmy's like, hi, I'm Jimmy Pache. I got a lot of irons in the fire, but
no.
Yours is the only one I want to press on my shirt. Yours is the only one I want to press on my pants. Do that one.
No, I just, yours I don't know. It just, I to me, man, and that's pants. And that's the thing is, like, if I was talking to a couple of ladies if I was talking to a couple of ladies and then I decide that, you know what, these two just aren't working out, I'm going to go out on this one, I will tell those other two, hey, I don't think this is working out.
Okay, well, the thing I don't understand is if there's like, you're practically calling out like one girl. If there's plenty of other chicks that you're talking to and you just like,
he said they made a connection.
One drops, you still got like two left.
Yeah, but he made a connection.
But what I'm saying is, so what the Houdini also is when, let's say I'm talking to three different girls and I make a connection with the third. So I tell the other two, you know what, I just don't think this is working out, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I continue to talk to the third.
You shouldn't even tell the other two, just talk to all of them until you know.
But see, I'm not going to do that. If I know I'm not going to be interested in the other two, then why continue to talk to them?
But you never know, though. You might just be taking over just the one, while the other two might have like more to come. You never know.
I don't. I just, to me, it's just, it's
because it's only like I said, it's only been three days. Like, you really can't get mad about that.
But you can.
Three magical days.
No, I'm not saying, but you can, because if you spend the time to talk to someone and really get to try to get to know them. Over the course of, and I'm not saying 3 days, I'm just saying a general.
I'm just saying the general
3 days. I'm not saying, you know, and because 3 days is just kind of like, I won't consider it a Houdini if it happened before then. But a lot of times it'll happen, you know, weeks later. But it just, I don't know. It just, to me, that is very.
If it's like weeks later, then I can understand. But only a couple days, like
no. I'm just saying 3 days is like my.
I think you're getting too emotionally attached too quickly, Jimmy. I think 3 days.
It's not emotionally attached.
It's not emotionally attached. If you are upset,
I'm upset because you don't just stop talking to somebody.
But that is rude. But she's under no obligation, Jimmy. You've talked for 3 days. Why?
3 days is not.
He's getting pretty frustrated, guys.
The 3 days is just a general. It will not. It will never be anything less than that.
But we're talking about – I'm talking about this specific girl. You said that this girl that we're talking about talked to you for 3 days.
I'm not talking about specifically a specific girl.
Weren't we just talking about a specific
girl? No, I'm talking about a Houdini.
No, talking about a Houdini.
We're just talking about a Houdini.
On the same page. I could have sworn you said one
You
girl.
Said that there was a girl that you had been talking to for like 3 days.
And she Houdini'd you.
And she Houdini'd you. We were talking about a specific girl.
Oh, no. I might have – I must have misspoke then. I'm sorry.
He's teasing.
That's what I thought.
No, I must have misspoke then. I meant to say that I've been talking to a girl for more than 3 days.
I still think 3 days is too short. I think 3 days is just
I think if it's more than maybe like 2 weeks and you're like talking every day, that would be maybe
yes, absolutely.
But only in like
you happen to talk 3 days and then she's like, you know what? No, just not. Then she doesn't go, so big deal. You move on.
It's just like getting to know somebody, like the basics. You're not like really into
No, Jimmy, where can people find this blog? Because we got to move on really quick to the John.
I forget what it's actually called.
It is dating in the digital age.
WordPress.com.
That's actually a cool title. You come up with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what I'm doing. I'm dating in the digital age with all – because everything that I talk about on there has to do with somebody that I met from online. Mostly it's from Plenty of Fish, but there was one from Tinder – actually, I think two from Tinder and one from like Date Hookup or something like that, which are all different dating sites.
Like the bad one.
Well, Tinder normally is just a date, is just a hookup site where you literally just try to find somebody to go hook up with. But occasionally, you know, you'll meet somebody or you know, you'll swipe or whatever, and then you'll actually have a conversation, and then that'll turn into an actual you know meet and greet. Actually, my most recent one that I posted on there, I met on Tinder.
It's going to be a dude.
Actually, that you should read my blog.
Now, what happens if you find love? Are you going to recruit somebody to keep the blog going, or do you shut it down?
No, actually, if I do find somebody, or if a relationship you know forms out or whatever, then I will continue to write in the blog about all the adventures that I had. And then after I pretty much get through all the stories, it'll then turn into something else.
Okay.
So, but dating in the digital age is the main one. And then I've already started writing a couple of stories from like when I was in Afghanistan. It's called Adventures in Afghaniland. And you from there, you can click on it and go there. I only have like two stories on there right now. But
okay.
So there'll be other things that I'll write on there. Yeah.
Nice, man. Yeah. We'll keep it posted, and we'll definitely advertise it and everything like that. We're going to call John up here in a second. This is John Chalback from SFS.
I put Jimmy's blog address on our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/radio_undercard to find Jimmy's adventures in the digital age. No, dating in the digital age.
Dating in the digital age, yes.
Hello, John, are you there? Hello? Oh, there we go.
I'm actually surprised that name was available.
I know.
Hello?
Hey, John, you're on the air. You're on the undercard. How are you today?
Oh, hey, I'm good. How's it going, Brad? How you doing?
Good. We are being joined by John Chalback. From SFS, formerly of U of M Boxing. He's a boxing coach for SFS, comes from a boxing background, but also is a MMA fighter. So tell us what you got going on, man. We saw you guys – or saw you at TFC, and the Fight Zone was going on, and you had some up-and-coming stuff coming up. And so I thought, hey, what a good time to check in with you and see what was going on.
Yeah, the TFC was awesome. That was my first ever commentating little thing that I did, and that was pretty cool. But on November 12th, at the Motor City Casino, I'm going to have my professional boxing debut. Carlos and I are working together trying to put together something really special for the fighters. And, you know, it's going to be really something. I think it's going to be a new age of boxing and fighting and in the Detroit area, and you know, competition is going to be get back to the way it should be.
Now, I absolutely love Carlos, and he knows that a lot of people don't like him. We talk about it all the time, but I absolutely love Carlos. He's fun to be around, and he makes me laugh and everything like that. But he also knows the boxing business. What are you bringing to it? Because Carlos has been successful in it for a lot of years. He knows how to make money in it. What do you specifically bring to this event?
Well, one thing that I'm bringing is you know, the idea that we need to get, you know, fighters, all fighters, a fair chance to be successful and be in fair fights, not just fights that are predetermined by, you know, mostly by experience or, you know, an MMA fighter going in against a boxer with 100, you know, amateur fights and, you know, something like that where, you know, then these fighters get used up and, you know, they're 0-4, they can't get approved by the commission. And, you know, these promoters are just, they're really shooting themselves in the foot and they're hurting boxing. At the same time, they're using mixed martial artists for, you know, easy wins against their protected fighters. And, you know, what I want to do is just, you know, give fighters the chance to, you know, be successful and not only that, get the experience they deserve in fair competition. You know, a lot of these, you know, fighters to me are fighters. You don't have to be just a boxer or an MMA fighter. You know, people thought I was just a boxer and then in just, you know, a couple of MMA fights, they realize that I'm an individual and we should give everybody that chance. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to give people a certain amount of experience before they can truly, you know, show what they're made of, you know, and I want to do that. I want to put together great fights with Carlos and, you know, competitive fights that not only help the fighters, they help the fans, they help the boxing coaches at all the mixed martial arts gyms. You know, they help everybody involved. So that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I'm bringing to it.
Now, Michigan is strong for boxing. I know you want to add a different flair to it, twist to it, and make your mark on it. But, you know, we are known for boxing, especially the Detroit area. What can you kind of – what is a John, I guess, type fighter that you're looking for? What's the characteristics you look for in a fighter?
Well, heart and will, number one, is obviously, you know, always the main thing in a fighter. You know, somebody can be super skilled, but if they quit easy, then, you know, they're going to get broken down. So, you know, usually if their heart's in it, their mind's in it, their will is in it, then, you know, you can work with them. Like Mickey Ward, you know, he's one of my favorite fighters because he wasn't that skilled, you know, he never really moved his head, but he tried his hardest. He never gave up and he stayed the course, and we all know what happened to him in the end. So, you know, he's the type of fighter that I look for, somebody with a big heart that's not going to give up. And, you know, that's the type of fighter I am.
Now, you come from the boxing background, but like we said, you're doing MMA now with James Gray out in SFS. Tell us what you got going on in your MMA career, because I know you got some stuff coming up there.
Well, we've got I don't have any MMA fights scheduled myself, but, you know, WXC is September 11th. We have a bunch of people fighting on that card. Michael Pianelli has put together a great amateur card there on September 11th. On September 12th, TXC, Taylor Moore, makes his pro debut against Anthony Fleming. So, you know, that's what we got going on there. I've had to kind of take a hiatus from wrestling because I herniated a disc in my back, and I'm still in kind of recovery from that. I can box, but I can't really wrestle still, so, you know, I kind of have to, this may be my four fights in, you know, MMA, you know, I'll have to go pro in both after November 12th. But, you know, I saw that Carlos had that date, November 12th, and, you know, that date really means everything to me. That was the date that my dad passed away just a year ago, and I always wanted to fight on those days, and, you know, I saw that date, and I just knew that it was fate, and I needed to, you know, present myself and my ideas in an intellectual way so that, you know, people know that, you know, there's big things that can happen here. There's not that many professional boxers in Michigan, believe it or not. And many of them are complete, you know, perennial 4-40, 1-10 type guys, you know, that just get used up. And, you know, I don't think it's right, you know, that protected fighters just get fed these easy fights that they know that they're going to win. And, you know, I just don't think it's right. So I want to put together good opportunities for fighters that have fair chances to win fights that you don't know. I don't know who's going to win John Slayton versus Josh Parisian or Dave Kubacki versus Tommy Bagnasco or Anthony Smith versus Rick Murray. You know, I have no Chris Tickle versus Wasim El-Sanawi. I have no clue. And that's the way it should be.
No, I respect your boxing background. So we were talking earlier about Holly Holm finally getting I shouldn't say finally getting. She kind of jumped over a lot of people. Her opportunity versus Ronda Rousey. She was a tremendous boxer. Talk to us a little bit about some of the differences in throwing your hands in boxing as to MMA. What is Holly Holm not able to bring from the boxing world into MMA because of it's just different styles?
Like I said, you know, fighting is all about the individual, and Holly Holm is a perfect example of somebody who is diverse, who can be successful in all areas of fighting, kickboxing, boxing, and MMA. She's a smart fighter. Boxing is not just about hands. It's mostly about footwork and being in the position to be able to, you know, create power and, you know, and use your timing and distance correctly. You know, it's not just about throwing your hands, you know. You know, that term actually makes me laugh a lot. You know, it's mainly about being in position with your body, with your feet, mastering your body to create the full potential of your power. You know, so many other things go into it. In MMA, it's just different. You have to worry about wrestling. You have to worry about other things. So, you know, you just have to be diverse and find the solution, you know.
Now, Holly Holm, in boxing, you would keep somebody away from getting on the inside with a jab. That doesn't really work with somebody with Ronda Rousey with her judo background and everything like that. What would you suggest, besides like sprawling or anything like that when Ronda Rousey's going for a takedown, what would you suggest, just, you know, just for fun, to Holly Holm to keep Ronda Rousey away from taking it to the ground? Because, trust me, Holly Holm does not want it on the ground. I think everybody that's ever seen a UFC fight knows she doesn't want it on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that we don't want Holly Holm to go to the ground. But all I can say is that keep your hands up, you know, do your best, you know, try to kick her in the legs, you know, punch her in the face, try to, you know, stay away, you know, use your ring generalship, use your experience as a striker, you know, and try to catch her, you know, I mean... I don't think Ronda's really been challenged. You know, hopefully this is the challenge to bring out the best in both women, and I'm excited to see the fight. It's going to be awesome. I hope it is awesome. I hope it's not another, you know, disappointing Ronda Rousey and 50 seconds type Mike Tyson in the 80s type blowout.
Right. I can tell you this about a Ronda Rousey fight. If you've not gotten your tab from your waitress yet and paid it out, you're going to be waiting for a long time, because as soon as that thing finishes so quick, like, everybody's running for the door.
I hope it's a good fight, Brad.
We got to talk this about you. Miguel Cotto versus Canelo Alvarez, which is, to me, the fight of the year, the Manny Pacquiao fight, Floyd Mayweather. If you would have told me these two before even Floyd fought Manny, this is a fight people want to see, whether Cotto has really found with Freddie Roach this resurgence, and whether Canelo is ready to take that next step as being just an absolute global superstar. Who do you like in that fight? Are you excited for that fight? I mean, you're a boxing fan. I know you are. And yeah, tell me.
And honestly, I'm a boxing fan and an MMA fan equally. Like, I love both equally, and I still love boxing just as much as I love MMA. But I think I like Miguel Cotto in that fight. But, I mean, it's one of those fights where you don't know who's going to win, and that's the way it should be. And literally, it should be that way all the way down the line. And I like Cotto in that fight with his body punching and being able to get on the inside, but it should be fight, absolutely. It should be the, you know, the big name fight of the year.
Well, I thank you for joining us and dropping in here. I know you got a big future in both sports. We'll touch base with you as November comes along a lot closer, but we want to thank you for dropping in on the undercard. I always have fun talking to you. You know your stuff. You're not out there being flamboyant and, you know, in people's face. You're just a laid-back guy that knows the business. So thank you so much for joining us, all right?
Thanks so much for having me. You guys have a good night.
All right, that is John Chalbeck. He is from SFS. Fighting out of Howell, Michigan, the Florida Kid, I believe they call him, from Florida, Florida Key Kid, Florida, I forget his nickname, but Florida, from Florida. But yeah, he comes from the unique background. Back when, like, I came up with the concept of the undercard, there was nobody was doing both. Like, it was just unheard of, and people would literally make fun of me. Like, I'd go in a boxing gym, and they'd be like, how's that MMA stuff going? And then I'd go in an MMA gym, and they'd be like, you still following boxing, you know? And now, like, you see this crossover, and I'm not saying it's because of our show. It's just that people realize that a fighter's a fighter. You remember when Sugar Hill was on episode 50 and he was like, I can look in a guy's eye and see if they're going to call quits or not.
Mm-hmm.
You're like he said, a fighter still has that will. You know, mm-hmm. maybe Holly Holm won't be able to pick up the skill set to catch up to Ronda Rousey, but it doesn't mean her heart's not there and she can't figure out a way to win with a skill set of boxing that Ronda right. Rousey's trying to pick up quick.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was definitely interesting to see and talk about. But we're going to go to our last music break. We're still trying to track down one more fighter, and we will be back. I'm in a hurry to
get things done. Oh, this is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard, everybody. Yeah, no one spins classics like we do. Spies Like Us.
Wicca, wicca,
Paul
wicca.
McCartney.
I know.
There's a reason for many of them.
October 21st, he's going to be at Joe Louis Arena. I'm actually excited about that because I've only seen him in stadium shows. So This will be the first time in arena.
Mm.
Wow.
Small arena of 19,000 people.
Will he have the whole nursing home there with him? Or?
And you liked the Beatles when we talked.
I did like the Beatles, but at some point, though, you got to call it quits. You got to, you know.
No.
When you have to be back to the home by 8:30 because that's when they serve the green jello.
No. No, he could come as often as he wants, sells as much. He doesn't need the money, right?
Well, I
so
mean,
that's why.
That's if you believe that is the real Paul McCartney.
Ooh, he did die, Sergeant Pepper's, right?
Yeah.
Or no, it was
Eddie Shears is the actual guy's name.
Yeah, so.
Or okay. Billy Shears. I'm Billy sorry, Billy Shears, yeah. Billy Shears, yep.
See, actually, there's a documentary that's sort of like it's
like a mockumentary.
It sort of is, but like what it does is it takes all of like the crazy conspiracy theory stuff, but like puts it together like as if it were
like real.
Yeah, and they do it as like it was George Harrison's like deathbed confession.
Okay.
I'll have to look for it. I can't remember the name of it. Like I started watching it one night and ended up staying up for like the full like 3 hours of the thing because I was like, this is so ridiculous. I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, I do like conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But look how valuable Jimmy is. I think I could get two co-hosts out of him. Maybe two.
Brad really wants to
He's
trade
gonna
you,
rent
dude.
You out.
Apparently.
The trade.
I don't know what I did to piss off Brad, but
no,
he doesn't want
me
on the show anymore.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You know,
he just phone's sees open. Profit. Profit and Jimmy.
Two hosts and a six-pack.
He doesn't freaking pay Jimmy now.
There you go.
What's more profit
what's
he need?
What's more profit six, above zero?
Six old style in the beer. Yeah. Maybe
it wouldn't be the same without
two,
you, Jimmy.
To the coast. Yep.
It's true.
Round the two. They carry it.
Else would be Marv's punching bag?
No, nobody would.
No.
We are finally joined by Brandon McLaughlin there, though, from Hoist Gracie MMA down in Southgate, Michigan. How are you doing, Brandon?
Doing pretty good. It was pretty fun trying to find this place. Sorry I was a little late.
No, we don't mind.
Got a nice little run-in with my new training partner, Anthony Twilger.
Mm-hmm.
I expect real big things from him. You guys better keep an eye out for him. He's going to be a monster at 135 and hopefully dropping down to 125 pretty soon.
Very cool. That's where you were? You were training?
Yeah.
Okay. And you got a big fight coming up September 12th. Joseph Pataglia is going in. It's the Mayweather fight. I think this is strategically good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I love Joe. Joe will laugh at that.
There's a Mayweather fight coming up?
And there's a Mayweather fight.
Who's that? Who's Mayweather? Mayweather who?
Floyd.
Floyd?
Money team? Floyd?
Nah.
No, I'm just saying that.
Never heard of him.
It's like zero interest to me now.
Never heard of him.
But Joseph Pataglia always throws on great pro shows, pro-ams, and amateur shows.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a pro-am?
Oh,
there's some amateurs?
It is. There are some amateurs starting at 3, and I believe the pro fights start at 6. He's got his AMI shows. Pretty good size, but his pro shows are nothing like I've ever seen before. You know, 3,000 plus people. I remember I had my pro debut there, and walking out, I got real choked up just being in front of that many people. The crowd is just so vast.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very big, and his shows are put on very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us about who you're fighting, and we know your style. You're very strong in jiu-jitsu,
mm-hmm.
But you're an all-around fighter, but your base is a good jiu-jitsu base led by Dr. Gomez down there.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you fighting, and what's his style or what's his strengths?
I'll be fighting Tim Tirado. I've heard he's from Muskoka, pretty far up north, up north fighter. Don't fight many of those. But from what I've seen, he's predominantly a good grappler on the ground, real good in his guard. You know, he's pretty solid everywhere around, but I believe if I, you know, just stay out of his guard, he's a real tall guy, 6'2", pretty similar to the first guy I fought, real tall, lanky, real long legs, long arms, can be pretty dangerous off of his back, so I don't intend to play around with him too much down there, but, you know, just keep working him, break him. I heard he breaks pretty quick, so probably going to try and end him in the first round.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you get paid the same amount of money if it goes three rounds or if it goes it ends in the first. So, you know,
exactly.
get it done. Get out of there. You fought, though, in Lansing, you fought Jamie Espinoza.
Yeah.
And Jamie Espinoza, who's also been here a lot, and we're good friends with Javier and his camp over there. That was a hell of a fight. I mean, you guys both came in with a lot of.
Yeah, we were both went in that fight 8-0. Real good fight. I've been waiting for it to happen for a long, long time. He took a break off of fighting. He was actually the champ when I first started fighting, an amateur, and we finally got to meet when we were both pro. Real good fight. Everything was going nice, but the only mistake I made, I had that fight in the bag, but I stopped moving. He got out of mount somehow. He was really slippery. Got out of mount. I had his back. I was holding on to him, going to slam him. There were so many things going through my head, which is the right thing to do in order to not give up position and give him a fresh start. I didn't want to let him go pop up to his feet, but that led to my downfall, waiting for what he was going to do. Did some crazy stuff, dove straight through his own legs onto my leg and got me in a knee bar, which I never thought would ever happen. No, not many fighters actually go for that move because it has such a low success rate.
Mm-hmm.
And even when he went for it, I didn't even think he had it, but he had that really, really, really tight. Mm-hmm. I had no choice but to tap or else I wouldn't have a leg.
Right, but a good fight in the fact that you guys are both scrambling. There's moments where, like, you guys are both, like, just there were some back and forth moments. I do think you definitely look like you were pulling away a little bit, and then Jamie Espinoza, you know, catches you. And but I know down the road, probably it's not going to happen anytime soon, but a rematch with Jamie Espinoza, obviously you'd want that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think he would take that anytime soon because I believe he knows how close that fight was to being over, and I believe I surprised him and his camp with my stand-up. He's got a real good boxing coach, Kara Rowe.
Mm-hmm. Like, we love Kara. Yeah,
15-16-0, pro boxer, real good stand-up. And not many people thought I was going to be able to stand with Jamie, but I did pretty well there. Like you said, a lot of back and forth. He was a real high-level wrestler. So I think once we both have some time to work on our skills, I believe he'll go for a rematch for some big money because, like you said, that was a really good, close fight, and I believe a lot of promoters would like to see that again.
Now, you come from a jiu-jitsu background with Dr. Gomez
actually,
and everything.
I actually come from a college wrestling background.
Okay.
I transitioned my wrestling into jiu-jitsu because putting those two together, you know, you could be a really good wrestler, but once you take someone down, you need to know what to do with it.
And that's the question I was going to ask. This is a great question that was posed to me, I don't know, like 2 weeks ago, and I want to ask you it. Physical talent over somebody that's pretty smart and can think on the ground in the chess match, what would you rather have?
Skill.
The skill?
Yeah.
That's over being able to think it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you could be as strong as you want. I fought a lot of strong guys, but they lack the skill. You know, strength only lasts so long, and if they don't have the correct angles, timing, and all the tools in their toolbox, you know, strength only goes such a long way. You know, they might be able to knock you out with one punch, but if they don't have all the movement and all the skills to match it, then they're going to have a real tough time trying to finish you.
Okay. I think Jimmy's still on Ashley Madison, just plugging in names.
No, he is. Yeah. He's trying every name he knows.
Every AKA he's ever gone by.
We got Brandon McLaughlin over there. Come on, Jimmy.
If you guys, you know, Mike Chevenar, he's
prime
example of not much strength. I mean, he's actually really strong. I mean, when I very first started training with the kid, he had nothing. But you know, coming from a technical gym as we are, he's taken out all these really strong, really good fighters with his skill.
Mm-hmm.
And without that skill, I don't think he'd be able to beat half these guys he's beating. But his skill level is so high, I have a hard time with him. He fights 135. I mean, I got about 30 pounds on this kid, and I have a real, real, real hard time finishing him.
He's got great heart. I mean, yeah. I've seen him a few times now.
Crazy heart. His skill level, like I said, is just crazy. I mean, how are you going to stop someone that knows how to stop all your moves?
That's true. That's the bad thing about training with him every day. He knows your moves and such and as that. Tell us a little about some of the other fighters coming up from the Hoist Gracie Academy, because last time I think we touched base with you. You, obviously Mike, but you guys got some other people coming up. Any amateur fights coming up for some of your teammates?
I believe we got the TFC Fight Zone is going to be doing one in November, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know the date yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Anthony, he should be making his amateur debut in that show. Be expecting some big things from him. Hopefully Mike's face is healed up after that last fight, that five-round banger, the championship main event. Took a nice kick, got a few fractures in the face, so he's got to heal up a little bit.
Just that statement, a few fractures.
It happened in the first round. And
yeah.
He fought the whole
and he powered
rounds.
Through it. Gosh. Like, I don't ever want to have one fracture in
I
my
saw
face.
I saw his face in between some of the rounds. I was just like, oh, my God. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. Just keep fighting.
No, it looks fine. No, you're looking good, bud.
But we got Jesse Pierce. I think he's 5-0 now. Our super heavyweight. He's thinking about dropping down to heavyweight where he should be. He walks at like 285. He shouldn't be fighting these guys that are, you know, 400 pounds. He dropped down to heavyweight. He'll definitely take over that weight class for sure. Jordan Bobbitt, 16-year-old, actually 17-year-old. He just comes from a karate background, real tough kid. And I remember the first day sparring him, you know, I took him lightly. You know, I mean, Brad's, you know, I mean, real small kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a bookworm at school, but, you know, he kicked me in the face, almost knocked me clean out. I mean, that kid's tough, man. Wow. He's his jiu-jitsu is really strong, really good stand-up.
And he's coming off a strong win at the last TFC.
Yeah, I mean, his first fight he took a loss, but that was on a short notice. Yeah,
and notice. Against a guy with a ton of experience.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yeah. And this kid, he's definitely getting up there. We're working on his wrestling. He's definitely going to be a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And so you'd come from a wrestling background and collegiate wrestling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How much are you using jiu-jitsu? How much are you using wrestling? Or you got like a hybrid right now?
Yeah, you have to make a hybrid. I mean, it's mixed martial arts. You have to mix everything up equally. You can't go in there just pure wrestling, just always trying to slam people and control them. You have to do something with it. You have to constantly keep them thinking. You have to be able to constantly move. And like I said, that's what I messed up with my last fight. I stopped moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have all those tools and keep mixing everything up so you always keep your opponent thinking with everything.
Right.
And wrestling is such a good aspect. That's the base of fighting because you learn control. You learn how to push the pace, take someone down when, you know, you're getting handled on your feet. You could really change the whole fight up with your wrestling.
Very cool. So we want to help you out here. You got some tickets for sale and stuff. How can people reach you to sell some tickets and stuff like that?
Multiple ways. I'm actually giving some of my people that I know some tickets. Liz McDonald over here, she's going to help me sell a few. I gave supervisor at my job some tickets. No, if you guys want to get some tickets, just, you know, message me on Facebook. Get a hold of the Hoist Gracie Academy. They have half my tickets. You know, just anyone who's associated with me, and they'll send me your way.
Where can people find you on Facebook?
Just under Brian McLaughlin.
Okay.
Very cool. Joseph Battaglia does it right. He's always been good. I'm trying to think how many times he's been on the show. For sure. One in the studio, for sure, a couple of times.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, one in the studio, two, you know, via Skype. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one treats us better than Joseph Donofrio and Joseph Battaglia. Anything we want, we get from those two guys. And absolutely great show. So I know a lot of people are looking for something to do other than the Mayweather fight, and so that's where you need to be if you're looking for things other to do.
That's live action right there.
That's live action, right? And you can hear about how the Mayweather Berto fight went.
I think we all know how it's going to go.
Mayweather wouldn't say.
A bunch of hugs. You can watch a bunch of dudes hugging it out, or you can go watch some real fighting. It's your choice.
Watch a few more fractures to the face.
Stop saying that.
I wonder what the odds are. So what was it, plus 900 for Holly Holm? You'll have to look up what the odds are for Berto to win that fight, Jimmy. I bet you he's a greater underdog than Holly Holm. He's probably a much bigger underdog.
It's just slow, thinking. So keep talking.
Oh, no, that's okay.
The hamster's getting tired.
So maybe people didn't hear us the first time you were on our show, Brandon, but how did you get associated with Dr. Gomez and Hoyce Gracie? How did you end up walking through those doors?
You know, it's really weird. Multiple times in my life, stuff like this happened with wrestling and with fighting, just people walking into my lives. I was originally with Todd and Victor, and they owned the Courageous Gym in Taylor. And I guess they already knew Gomez. I'm training in there one day. Actually, the first night I met Gomez was my third amateur fight. Walks up, tells me, I was wrestling a bulldog. This guy's all strong, but no technique like we were talking about earlier. Says, walk up to him, give him a right, make him switch his stances, take him down. I was like, I've never met this guy ever, but okay. Do it, and I end the fight in like a minute. And I was like, all right. And then he started, he came back from Pennsylvania. He moved back from there. And he just started taking us through this all this training and stuff. And I heard he trained with Hoyce for 22 years. And his style of teaching, his technique alone is just amazing. Like, he just never stops showing you moves. You think you got them all down, and he shows you 60 more arm bars in a week that you didn't even know existed. But the style of his teaching is just insane. Like, the classes are constructed so well. I feel like I'm sitting in the classroom all day, but jiu-jitsu. And he, like I said, he just kind of walked in and took me under his wing, and he said, as long as I'm willing to, train, and we're going to go places. He's like, you're going to go pro, we're going to go to UFC and stuff like that. I was like, this guy's crazy. And then everything he said we were going to do, every guy he said we're going to beat and how we're going to beat him has gone down exactly how he said, so I have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, and Todd comes from a background in MMA.
Yeah.
Victor knows his stuff, obviously. You guys got a good stronghold.
Todd's got all of the connections and everything, good with talking to all the people. It actually got me hooked up with you guys, the undercard. You guys been with me ever since my amateur career. I've been really enjoying it. Victor's always been there. He's my first coach, always pushing me, man. Never been able to submit the guy yet.
Victor Gibson, yeah.
Yeah, he's always one step ahead of me, man.
Well, the way that him and Dr. Gomez are so calm when they're teaching, if you were to talk to Victor and Dr. Gomez, the way they talk is just very passive, and it's almost like it's such a confidence. It's really cool to hear him talk about it.
You would never expect Gomez to be the monster that he is. A lot of people just look at him like old, calm guy. I remember the first day in practice, I punched him in the face. Big mistake. He was mounted on top of me. We had the gloves on. He said we were striking, so I grabbed him by the back of the head and boom, punched him in the face. He sat up and laughed and just destroyed me for 15 minutes. I could do nothing. He's a scary dude.
So did he land one on you after that, or he just showed you the ways of jiu-jitsu? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. He put it to me for the next 15 minutes.
He made you pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. There you go. But that's the cool thing about that gym, and it's one of my favorite gyms in MMA in Michigan and stuff. I have some favorites. And
One of the things I love about our gym, I've been to a lot of gyms. Once I started getting bigger into fighting, all these gyms started recruiting me. So, I started going around looking at other gyms and stuff. And one thing that I've noticed about the Hoyce Gracie Academy is no one gets injured. No one breaks someone's nose. There's hardly any blood. There's no egos because everyone's learning at the same pace. Everyone's on the same level. We all have mutual respect for each other. And the way we train, we don't train to hurt each other. We train to, build as a team and, to help each other. When you get cracked, when you go to these other gyms, you hit someone in the face and they get all mad and they just want to beat your ass the whole time. And it's just not cool. Mm-hmm. They always want to, put a statement on the new guys walking in as to you go in the Gracie Academy and they embrace you and try to teach you as much as possible. It's like a family there.
Well, here's the most serious question I'm going to give you for the whole night. How many people in your gym read Jimmy's blog?
You know, I really don't know. I don't even talk to the people inside my gym, outside the gym. You know, when I walk in there, those people are my family. We all have separate lives. And it's really weird. Like I said, we're all family, and everyone's got mutual respect for each other. When I walk in there, all these guys, like, I would, if I met them on the streets, knowing who they are and the stuff that they're interested in, we have zero similarities almost. Mm-hmm. But I get along with them so well in the gym because, you know, we're so close together in there.
Talk a little bit about the self-defense classes that you guys do for females, and then you guys are always doing something at Hoist Gracie's Academy.
The self-defense classes are actually pretty nice. He keeps it real simple and easy for, you know, someone who's never been in those situations before. You know, when you've never grappled or thrown a punch in your life, it's kind of hard to grasp those concepts, and you kind of discouraged to go in there and, you know, roll around with some absolute stranger and everything, and you're afraid to get beat up on, but that doesn't happen there. And a lot of people that do the self-defense classes, they end up joining the gym. And even in our advanced jiu-jitsu classes, he, you know, swings these padded sticks at us, and that's for the range and the distance. And he shows us all street fighting styles, comes at us with, you know, rubber knives, guns, teach us how to disarm people as well. And that's the cool thing about the Gracie style as opposed to the sport jiu-jitsu. Gracie style is jiu-jitsu with fighting. Mm. Most places they just teach jiu-jitsu without the punches. Mm. So Gracie style, he's doing damage in every position. And that's what I like to go to in my fights. I take someone down. Every single position you have to do damage in.
Mm. Very good.
Wow. While defending yourself the whole time.
You got really Marv's nice. Attention over there.
Indeed.
Marv's
I'm trying to attention. I'm trying to figure out how to break somebody's face multiple times.
Well, I guess go to the Gracie Academy and find
apparently,
out.
Yeah.
And Brandon could probably fill you in a few times.
By the way, the odds for the Berto Mayweather fight, Mayweather's paying out at 1-41, Berto's paying out at 16-1, and a draw is paying out at 40-1.
Oh, man. Draw 40-1.
Also, before I forget, I've heard rumors that Hoist Gracie's actually coming to the gym at the end of this month.
Very nice.
Oh, really?
To, you know, do some belt promotions. I don't know what he's going to give me, what stripes or what. I know I'm a far way away from my purple belt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's going to – a lot of people show up to these classes, and, you know, it's a real great opportunity. Shows you a lot of great things, and I really advise – anyone who's interested to come out and check it out.
Oh yeah,
really, really cool, humble guy.
Yeah, and I mean that's the man. There would be no undercard talking MMA, at least if it wasn't for Hoist Gracie and everything that he got started with the sport and everything like that. Talk a little bit about the stand up program. You were talking a little bit about it there. How are you guys mixing in stand up? Like who teaches it there? And
That's a pretty confidential thing with when I talk to other gyms, because they're like, you know, you need a stand-up coach because we're predominantly a ground game gym, but that's what a lot of people see it as, and that's not really it. Like I said, it's the Gracie style. It's street defense and all of that stuff. So, you know, people say, oh, you need a stand-up coach, but like I said, my last fight, I walk in with Jamie Espinoza, this crazy boxing coach of his, and he's got all this good stand-up, and I'm pretty sure I landed more strikes on him. I didn't really get beat up too bad at all, and I've walked through my amateur career, all first-round finishes, and with guys with insane records, you know, 20-plus wins, over 30 fights, and I had 5 fights, and I'm able to stand there and bang with these guys that got phenomenal stand-up, because at our gym, you know, it's all about the distance. Everyone's worried about going in there and trying to bang and do flashy moves and stuff, but if you stay out of range, how can they hit you? And you know when to step in. You know, it's just really really technical stuff. And you know, like I said, the rubber sticks that he swings at us, you could dodge a stick, you could dodge a punch, you could dodge a kick. And you know when to step in.
If you can dodge a wrench, yeah, you can dodge a ball.
That's exactly what I said that day. And he'll come at you swinging hard with that thing. You get hit. But, you know, if someone's swinging a stick at you, you learn how to dodge a stick, you'll know how to dodge a punch for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm super excited for your fight September 12th. Maybe we can post a link to the Hoist Gracie Academy for people that want tickets. Mm-hmm. Joseph Battaglia always throwing good shows. And then I'm not sure if we'll be updating the fights that night or anything like that. But I want to thank you so much for joining us, Brandon. Absolutely awesome that you came in studio.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys.
And that you finally made it.
Besides Anthony Barnes, I don't think anyone's been in studio yet.
I love it in here. It's cozy. No.
Yeah, it's nice in here. And Anthony kept that seat warm for all these weeks and stuff like that.
Well, we were enticing him with promises of lasagna.
Yeah, that's true.
Lasagna, promises of Jimmy's crazy ass fades, you know. He's like Hugh Hefner, but more creative, and then, you know, Anthony's in there.
Jimmy? Oh, is like Hugh Hefner?
Yeah.
What?
No.
Have you been listening to this show the last, like, 5 weeks?
Are you talking about the Playboy Hugh Hefner, or is there some Hugh Hefner that lives, like, in Jersey somewhere? like a pig farmer or something.
There has to be a successor for him.
I'm talking about the 90-year-old Hugh Hefner. He's got that game. How old is Hefner? 88? 85?
It doesn't matter. Jimmy is not Hugh Hefner.
No, not even remotely close.
I think it should be called Jimmy's Little Black Book.
What should?
Your blog.
Oh, no.
Jimmy's
like
Little Black Book.
In the digital age. Yeah.
No, I do too. Yeah. I'm just saying, when someone steals that, then it's Jimmy's Little Black
Book. Well, nobody can steal it because I have that. That's like you can't the WordPress sites, you can't have the same one as like somebody else.
Yeah, so you'd have to be dating in the digital age. 2-4.
Right.
Or whatever.
1980, whatever.
The real dating in the digital age.
Right, yeah, or something like that, yeah.
Dating in the digital age 2. It's like The Godfather 2, better than the original.
Dating in the digital age 2. Date harder.
Oh, boy.
Date harder, oh, God.
But in the coming weeks,
dating in the digital age 2, she gives me the Houdini.
Coming up in the next few weeks, though.
Sorry.
In the next few weeks, we have Joseph Donofrio. He's going to be hopefully he's going to be in studio. If not, for sure on the phones. Our good friend Joseph, Mr. Donofrio. Also, Darren Crawshank, Javier, and a surprise guest with those guys will be coming up in the next couple weeks.
Darren's not coming in studio, is he?
Oh yeah,
Cody.
No, Cody will not. Okay.
Because I heard Darren was mad at you, so I'm hoping. Is he coming in to specifically kick your ass?
I don't think Darren's mad at me.
You're the one that told
you
us
said
he was
mad
at you.
When was that?
Because you said that his fight was held.
No.
I don't know. You say that he might be coming in here to kick your ass, dude.
No, we're going to have our good friend Darren back in.
Okay.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. So the next couple weeks, some good guests. Also, there's some boxing guests. Some people are training at the Kronk right now. We're going to round those people up that are very famous, but I want to lock it in stone before we do that. So I got to thank Jessica for working the board for us.
Yay,
absolutely
Jessica.
Awesome.
Guys, I enjoyed it.
We still got the
you're much prettier to look at than about. Dave.
No. We still got 8 minutes. We still got the video to talk about.
Oh, okay. We got 5 minutes. Go for it.
Let's just wait till next week.
We'll wait till next week.
All right. Okay. Yeah, if you guys are talking the Karate Kid theory, that's going to take some time.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to take – we can't do that in 5 minutes.
All right.
So
it's still we can't do it in 8 minutes either.
It's like a saga.
It is a whole saga.
It's
going to blow your mind, though, Jessica. Blow your mind.
I'm excited.
If they were going to talk about what they wrote, we would not get.
Oh, you haven't
like
even
midnight.
Seen everything,
no, no,
Brad.
No.
You
no,
haven't
there,
seen everything.
There was conversations going on between just Marvin.
Oh
and
yeah,
I.
Yeah.
Oh, we wanted, thank you for not including us.
Yeah, we wanted to surprise.
Well, we wanted
you
to
with
surprise
it.
You with it. Yeah,
it's going to blow the
my
theory
data
that
thinks
the theory that we have is going to. It's seriously going to blow your mind. The theory
every
we have. You won't watch
like,
it. You won't
and,
watch the movie.
And if now that we have another week, we'll probably include 3. And the next Karate Kid.
Oh, wow.
Let's not get crazy, but you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. The whole saga. Maybe even that stupid one with Jada or what's his name?
Jada.
Whatever.
That one doesn't count.
That one, that's going to be a bad
dream. We're strictly talking the
real
no
Macho
one.
No
Hilary
ones.
Swank, then.
No
Hilary
the next
Swank.
Karate Kid. No, we will not talk about the next Karate Kid. No, we will not.
Anything with Miyagi in it.
No.
Because Miyagi is a central character.
I refuse to talk about the next Karate Kid.
All right.
He's getting all mad. So thanks, Jessica, for working the board. Thanks, thank Rochelle, you. For doing everything. Do Ring Girl Liz, thank you. Thanks, Jimmy. Thank Marv. Thank Activate Studio. This is a premature thank you to Old Style. Everyone knows what I'm meaning by there. premature thank you, Old Style. Brandon McLaughlin for coming in. We want to give John Chalback a huge thank you.
That's what Brad calls it, a premature thank you.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
I don't know if you heard it, but you can hear Rochelle go,
another Marv joke.
I don't know if it was that or if it was thinking about the premature thank you.
No, it's you. It's you.
So we'll see everybody next Tuesday. Take care.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.